Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino down there in Studio X. He'll make sure everything is running as smoothly as I can possibly make it run. You know, you never know how those things are going to go with me. But of course, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. Visit Vicksburg.com, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown. We'll be talking about some of the great stuff going on in Vicksburg. As the show progresses, we are back from SEC Media Days, where we were last week when we did this show. And of course, as you might expect, you know, for Mississippi State, not a lot of respect over there for the Bulldogs. And, you know, after a season last year where I kind of railed against the SEC media and, oh my goodness, what are they doing? This team's going to be so much better. Only to have it slapped right back into my face. I'm not gonna complain too hard about where this team is being picked in the preseason. I'm not gonna look at it and say, oh, they're being disrespected. But I will say this, and this is something that's occurred to me a few times, is that last year has really kind of poisoned the well for Mississippi State football. And what I mean by that is this. Prior to last season, Mississippi State had been to a bowl game. Do the math with me, guys. 13 straight years. They'd had a 9-win season the season prior to last year. It finished ranked in the top 20. And it seems to me that the media and a lot of your prognosticators have just immediately, at the first sign of trouble for Mississippi State, jumped in with, what do you expect? Mississippi State, you know, they're right there with Vanderbilt. Like it's 1987 all over again. And it's all the hard work of the previous decade plus has just been forgotten in all this. And despite the fact that Mississippi State has hired a coach that I think by and large is respected and people think pretty highly of in terms of what he's going to be able to bring to Mississippi State and what he's going to be able to do, there just seems to be like, I can't tell you the number of people I spoke to over there talking about it's going to be a long process for Mississippi State. Guys, I don't believe in long processes in football anymore. It used to be you hired a coach, and maybe by the time he was in his third or fourth year, when the guys he recruited were juniors and seniors, then that's when you could start to really see the turnaround. Those days are over. You know, this is a transfer portal-driven world. I'm going to know at the end of this season if Jeff Lebby's the right guy. And Lebby said that himself in our interview with him. If you go back and listen to what we talked to him about on Wednesday's Sports Talk Mississippi, he said, you know, we asked him what his goals for the season were. And he said, beyond just wins and losses, right, besides just coming up with a number, I want Mississippi State fans to be able to look at this season at the end and say, we've got the right guy in place. And I think that's a smart comment. That, you know, because you knew it with Mullen, right? Think about the last few coaches here at Mississippi State. Or think about it, we can go back quite a ways, right? With Jackie Sherrill, at the end of his first season, you're like, that's the right guy. He's going to win at Mississippi State. And he did. So, you know, it fell apart on him at the end, but he won a lot at Mississippi State. Sylvester Croom, at the end of his first season, there was nobody looking around going, they've got the right guy. There was nobody saying that. And they were correct. They did not have the right guy. Mullen, end of his first season, you knew you had the right guy. You knew that program was going to turn around. Moorhead, end of the first season, I think a lot of people said they don't have the right guy. This team, his first team should have been much better, and he underachieved, and they were right. Leach might be the only one where you can't say for sure because you didn't have a lot of wins, but you had the COVID year, you had everything else going on, and it was such a dramatic change from what State had done the previous 100-plus years of playing football to what Mike Leach wanted to do. But there were just going to be some growing pains. Plus, Mike Leach, you think about these coaches, Sherrill and Leach are the only two who were proven coaches, right? You kind of knew what you had with Jackie Sherrill. You knew Mike Leach would get things going, and his resume had always been first year is kind of a struggle, then they get moving after that. And they were. And they would have been last season had Mike Leach not tragically passed away. Arnett, I think I knew after the end of game two. It's like something's not right here. This is not making any sense how this team is playing and what they're doing. And thankfully, Zach Selman figured that out pretty quickly as well. So with Lebby, yeah, year one at the end of this year, if this team, and here's the thing, wins and losses don't totally determine whether or not you feel like you got the right guy. If State wins six games, but they're only getting 27, 28 points a game, and the defense is just a heck of a lot better than we thought it was going to be, I'm going to have questions about Jeff Lebby. I'm going to be like, you know, you were supposed to come in and make this offense dynamic, and you didn't. So what's the deal? I would have questions at that point. But if he goes 5-7 and averages 33, 34 points a game, but the defense is not very good, I have less questions. And I know that sounds weird. It sounds backwards. And I think Mississippi State fans and the university is better served by going 6-6 and 5-7. But there's a certain expectation level with Jeff Lebby and what he brings to football programs that if he doesn't achieve it at Mississippi State, I have to ask questions. So for me, at the end of this year, we're going to know with Jeff Lebby if State has the right guy to lead this program going forward. You know, if he comes in and offensively this team is moving, then you can sit there and say, all right, well, give him, you know, now he's got some pieces in place and a little more familiarity, and they'll be better defensively next year. They'll recruit better, and you go from there. Whereas if he comes in this year and the offense is just still stagnant, you have to wonder, like, what happened? Is it something in the water here at Mississippi State about offense? I don't know the answer to that. So going back to my original point, though, it just feels like everybody has already, you know, written off Mississippi State, not just for this year, but for the next 5 or 6 years. And I just think that that's foolishness. You know, I think that Mississippi State is a program that you're going to have a down year. At a program like Mississippi State, there's going to be down years. State is not a program where I think that every year can be 8, 9, 10-plus wins. There's just going to be down years in the cycle where you lose a lot of players or you have some change. And as I mentioned a few times on this program and on the podcast and elsewhere, you know, as a believer in these cycles, these five-year cycles where you have to have, you know, have the one up year, State has missed their two up years because of coaching changes. You know, if Mullen stays in 2018, then you have the up year. If Mike Leach doesn't pass away last year, you have the up year. This year would have been a down year regardless. Let's say Mike Leach had not passed away. You're still replacing Will Rogers. You're still replacing Woody Marks. You're replacing Tulu Griffin. Savion Thomas probably still goes ahead and goes to LSU. You know, you're still replacing a lot. So this year would have been a transition year one way or the other. So I'm not overly plussed about the win-loss record as much as I am the qualitative, and we've been talking about that a lot lately, the qualitative things that happened this season. Is this team good offensively? Does Blake Shapen remind me of Matt Corral and Dylan Gabriel when he's throwing the football? You know, are they starting to find some of these young receivers, turn them into playmakers? Those are the questions I had. Those are the big picture questions. Wins and losses will come. And the thing about numbers is this. If Shapen goes out there and has 3,000 yards passing, the State will be fine. They'll be in the hunt for a bowl game. And then maybe even better. Just depends. So all in all for this Mississippi State team, I just feel like it's okay to say they're going to be down this year. That's certainly going to be the case, right? They're going to be a team that is towards the bottom of the conference. There's just no getting around that. But to the people who think that this is like a return to pre-Jackie Sherrill form or, you know, Sylvester Croom form for Mississippi State where they're just happy to go to a bowl game, I think that obituary has been written far, far too early. I think that this program is in fine shape. They're going to continue to be competitive in the SEC, and they're going to continue to be a team that is challenging for bowl games and will find their occasional way into challenging for the college football playoff. Just not this year. So I feel like State this year, you know, I don't know if they're on a quest for respect. I don't know if it's going to be a situation where they play with a chip on their shoulder. I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think that kind of thing gets overrated a little bit anyway. I mean, do I really think that, they're looking at the, media's predictions? I don't think that. You know, maybe it gets brought up in passing, but there's not a bulletin with the predicted order of finish in there. They're just looking at it and go, they got 250. That's not happening. So I don't worry about that. But I do think that this year, if State comes out and is competitive in most games, if they go to Texas and lose by 14, they go to Georgia and lose by 14 instead of losing by 30 or 40, then people are going to be talking about this Mississippi State team. And they're going to be saying, okay, Jeff Lebby, once he gets a few more pieces in place, he's going to have that team running. And he's going to have them going in the right direction. I truly believe that's the case for Mississippi State. So, and don't let people convince you that the beginning of the end was last year for Mississippi State and they're about to go back to what it was, you know, prior to 1991. That's certainly not going to be the case here in Starkville. I don't think so. Anyway, we got a really good show lined up for you tonight. Zach Selman is going to join us a little later to talk a lot about what's going on at Mississippi State, what's going on in the SEC, and the ever-changing lineup, our world of college athletics. So we'll talk about that a little later in the show. Back in just a minute, this is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back here on Thunder and Lightning Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. This weekend in Vicksburg, huge event. The legendary Bill Dance will be out on the Mississippi River for the Mississippi River Monsters Mega Bucks Pro Series tour. They're going to be catching catfish out there on the river. It's an all-weekend event, but the big day is on Saturday, the 27th, from 3 a.m. to 8 p.m. 3 a.m. is early. I just want to point that out. But fishing all day out there on the river, plus vendors will be at the Vicksburg Convention Center for the Catfishing Expo. So hopefully no Ole Miss fans from Tremont, Mississippi will show up at that. But you can come check out all the vendors for your tackle, apparel, and everything else. That's this weekend in Vicksburg. Bill Dance will be there. So, I mean, you're talking about a legend going to be there. $200,000 purse. Available with a $100,000 first prize. So check that out. For more information, you go to MississippiRiverMonsters.com. So last week was my first chance to talk with Blake Chapin, Mississippi State starting quarterback at SEC Media Days. He didn't do any media availability prior to that throughout the spring or anything. So it was my first real chance to sit down with him, get a feel for him, and give you my thoughts on him. And first off, couldn't be a more, from a personality kind of standpoint, in my opinion, couldn't be a more different side of the coin than Will Rogers. Will Rogers is a very humble, homegrown Mississippi kid, and Chapin got a little more swag to him than Will did. There's no question about that. I did not care for the powder blue suit. I don't know what. Somebody's got to step up and say, Blake, no. We got to go a different way. But you know what? He looked good in it. So I'm just wrong on that. But getting to talk to him, I felt like he had a lot of confidence in himself and a lot of confidence in what he's going to be able to do in this offense. You know, the Jeff Lebby offense, I've been using the term user-friendly. I don't think it's easy. I don't think it's just, you know, you can plug anybody in there. You got to have a level of talent. But Chapin, I think you can tell from the conversation we had with him. And if you haven't checked that out, it's available on the Sports Talk Mississippi YouTube page. Definitely go check it out and go back and listen to it if you haven't. But I really got the impression that he believes that he's going to be successful at Mississippi State and in this offense. And I think Lebby gives quarterbacks that level of confidence. They can look at his track record and say, well, everybody else that's played under him has been successful. So if I go in there and I play at the best of my abilities, I will be successful too. And I think that that's the case. But he just had a level of self-confidence that I like, that you got to have if you're a quarterback. And not to say that Will Rogers didn't have self-confidence. I certainly don't want to make that the case here. But there's this varying levels of it. And for me, Chapin had had just a little bit more of it than did Will in years past. So I liked what I heard from Chapin. And when we talked to Lebby afterwards about him, he spoke very glowingly about him. There's a sequence in there from both interviews. So in the interview with Chapin, I present him with a scenario. I'm like, all right, here we are. We're going to have 1st and 10. We've just forced a turnover. We've got the ball at the opponent's 40. And I'm telling you in the headset, I want to go for the end zone here. What are we going to call? So he makes the call and sort of talks us through his progressions and all of that. I go back to Lebby in the interview with him, and I said, okay, this is what I did to your quarterback. And he said this, and I said, here was the play he called, and Lebby lit up immediately. He was like, that's the right call. Call that again. I like that call. So I like that the synergy is there, that they're kind of on the same page as far as this offense goes. You know, I like that Chapin feels like he's got a good handle on the offense, and Lebby can back that up, you know, with what they said there in that particular sequence. The coach-quarterback relationship these days in college football is so, so important when you're talking about the offensive side of the ball. And last year with Barbe and Rodgers, I never got the same warm and fuzzies, I guess we'll say, that I have now with Lebby and Chapin. You know, Barbe talked about Rodgers, and and Rodgers talked about Barbe, and it felt like things, you know, that they felt like they had things going the right direction. Ended up not being the case. Rodgers being, being injured certainly didn't help that at any point. But even from the beginning, it felt like the connection was just off. You go back and watch the first game, it's just, in hindsight, it's just not very impressive. And then from there, it never was impressive again. And that puts a little bit of pressure, I guess, on this opening week. And I've talked about this a few times. I think Lebby's going to go out there at week one playing an FCS school, and he's going to score all the points he can. You know, if you can get an over-under on this game, you take the over. You feel pretty good about it. Because I think it's just obvious that Lebby's going to want – they've been pushing this showtime, this entertainment thing since day one when Lebby was hired. That's been my eye. I don't know what this is. It's bothering me. And so I think, for game one, you want to show that off a little bit, right? You want to go out there and push the ball down the field and try to put as many points on the board as you can. Get everybody fired up. Get everybody talking, And what I always say, I feel – maybe I'm wrong on this, too. I always say, like, that week one, that FCS game, you can never take too much from it. In hindsight, maybe you can. Maybe you can. You know, I go back to Joe Moorhead's first year, when they put up a ton of points in that game against, I think it was Stephen F. Austin. But Keaton Thompson, that game, the passing was just inaccurate. He had some big plays, but he wasn't consistent in the passing game, and that became a harbinger of the whole season. Leach's first game is not a good example because he played against LSU. Last year, though, Zach Arnett, the first game, like I just mentioned, it really felt like a lot of going through the motions, and that if State had been playing a team where the talent level was similar, they might have been in trouble, and they certainly were the rest of the way. So maybe you can take more from a first game than you think you can. Maybe you can take a little bit more than you normally would. So the State comes out there and they put up 65, 70 points on an FCS squad week one. You feel like, okay, that's what you should do. That's when State's offenses have been at their best, that's what they've done. And if they don't and they struggle a little bit, it's hard to say that, a season ago they won 48-7. It's not really struggling, but if you go back and really watch the game, you'll see at times the offense just didn't flow the way it should. It didn't have continuity. It didn't have crispness that it should have. I expect to see those things in the Jeff Lebby offense. Now, a good part of that is because, and we've talked about this a few times, that Barbe was brought in after the rest of the offensive staff had been hired. He had no connection with them. They had never worked in his offense before. Maybe in high. Every time I look back at the last offseason, I kick myself. I'm like, why did I think this team was going to be good? There were the warning signs were there pretty early. But this team, Lebby, outside of Bumpus, all of these guys have worked with Lebby before. And they know the system. And it should be a much quicker transition for the coaches, which makes them easier to coach, makes it easier to teach. And so you should have a little bit more. It should look like they've been doing this longer. It shouldn't look like game one of a new offense when Mississippi State takes on Eastern Kentucky Labor Day weekend. And I certainly hope that that's the case, because if it isn't, well, then we've got, you know, the next week you got to go to Arizona State. That's going to be a tough matchup for you if you're not hitting on all cylinders early. You know, there's just no time. When you're a team that, like Mississippi State, where every win is precious to you because you've got, you're thinking, you're going into the season, at least I am, you know, the team's not. But if you're looking at this season going, okay, six wins, you know, week two on the road at a Power Five opponent is a game you can't afford to be giving away. You got to get that W. And so, you know, State needs to come out really crisp in that first game. They need to look like a team that's not in game one of a new coach. And I'm hoping that's the case with Mississippi State. I hope that they're able to do that. I think they can. They certainly have the playmakers. It's not a talent issue. It's just going to be, is everybody on the same page early in the season? And if they are, they're going to be fine. If they're not, it's going to be a struggle to get to the six wins. I feel pretty confident. Like if you said, what's your confidence level in six wins? It's definitely 65-70%. Certainly things could go wrong. Certainly things could go the opposite direction. But I feel pretty good that State can win these four non-conference games and in their SEC games find a way to win two. Florida and Arkansas are the ones that I have, sir. Beyond that, everything's kind of gravy. And again, if they go 5-7, but they're really, really good offensively, they just aren't good enough defensively to get enough stops, I'm going to be okay with that at the end of the year. The same way I was with Dan Mullen. Now, obviously, with Mullen, it's a little different because you have the egg ball there at the end that he was able to win. And if State, I mean, obviously, if Levy goes into Oxford this year and wins the egg ball and potentially knocks Ole Miss out of the college football playoff, everybody's going to be on board with Jeff Levy. But even if he loses that game, if he does enough offensively this year, everybody's going to be on the right side with him and moving forward into 2025, which is a real year. It's not a year from a science fiction movie. All right, when we come back, Zach Selman joins us. Got plenty to talk about with him. A lot going on in college football, as you know. I want to ask him, where does it end? Where do we stop having changes? Will it ever be the case? I don't know the answer to that, but we'll find out soon enough. We'll talk to Zach Selman when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
We're going abroad for the
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
We're back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. We are brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg, my hometown, down there on the Mississippi River. Joined now by Mississippi State Athletic Director Zach Selman, who we haven't had on in quite some time. How have you been? I feel like, I know I saw you last week, but in terms of radio, where, you know, if it didn't happen on air, it didn't happen. I hadn't seen you in a while. How you been?
Been great, Brian. How are you doing, man? And it was good to see you in Dallas.
It was good to be in Dallas. Yeah, I enjoyed being at Media Days, enjoyed meeting with Coach Levy. First time to meet with Blake Chapin as well. And I thought, very impressive young man, got me excited for his future here at Mississippi State. One thing from Media Days, you know, if you listen to the show, you listen to the podcast, you know that I'm not a big business of college football guy. I love the games and I love the sport, but man, the business of it drives me insane. Have you gotten tired of the phrase, the ever-changing landscape of college football yet?
It's kind of like when you're storm chasing, you hear, you know, something about a hook echo or some kind of buzzword like that. But it's the reality we're all facing. And I think not just necessarily in college sports, but all of the – there's so many different things that are changing in our world, whether it's education, how we consume education, how we learn, how we teach, all the things. So for us, I've always looked at it as that's just part of it. You know, you mentioned some of our players that were at Media Day last week, and every time I'm around our guys, I'm like, man, they're bigger, stronger, and faster. And you talk to a lot of young people now or prospective students or students that are leaving Mississippi State, and you're like, I don't want to have to compete against that person for a job because they're so smart, they've crushed it, They scored a bazillion on some standardized test that you have never even heard of. They're a Rhodes Scholar, whatever it is. So I think that's just the evolution of life where we're at. But yeah, there's a lot of challenges, a lot of changes going on. But one of the things we've always stood behind and stand on is that there's a life-changing magic that happens at the intersection of higher education and sports. So regardless of the changes, we know that's our home base.
And, you know, when you think about college football, it went through a long, maybe three decades without any really huge changes. And then in the last 2 years, the sport has almost been flipped on its head. Do you see a stopping point for college football's changes? Do you see a point where we go 2, 3, 5, 10 years and there's not a major change in how the game is approached?
I don't think there's a stopping point. You know, I think that's kind of similar to an analogy of life. It's always a journey. How can we continue to push the game forward? Whether it's each year you're looking at the rules of the game, you're looking at the model, you're looking at what's changed. So you can stay not just ahead of the curve, if you will, but how can you stay relevant and make sure that, you know, there may be some learning in that because of the way that the game has changed for so long or stayed the same for so long. Now you see all these seismic changes. And I think there's probably some learning of we could have been better, been forward thinking back then. So we wouldn't allow a lot of people that outside of the day to day of college sports dictating how we're going to run our business.
I don't want to be political or anything, but we are in an election year. I think both candidates need to give you a call because you have become a job creator here at Mississippi State. It seems like every time I look at Twitter, there's a new associate AD or a new director of here at Mississippi State. Are these hires coming as a result of this ever-changing landscape? It's just new jobs because we have new situations? Or are these situations, are these jobs being created because Mississippi State is maybe a little bit behind on some of these positions and they needed this immediately?
Yeah, when we got here, you know, 18 months ago, you clearly look at the organizational structure and really dive into the organizational health. And for us, I've always looked at what's the staffing need to look like. No different than we look at all of our sport programs. So when we look at our staff, we've had fantastic people that have been here. You know, I chose to come here because of the great people that came before us. And the people we've attracted have came because of the great people that are here and have came before us. While we also recognize there is a lot of changes. You know, since we started, we've created an entirely new athlete services division that was the first of its kind in college athletics so that we can make sure that we're meeting the needs of student athletes, the growing needs and the evolving needs. We've done a lot with our fundraising unit, and clearly NIL has been a big part of that. How do we rethink how we fundraise and really use data and different systems to make sure that we are smarter and talk more with our donors, our stakeholders? So, you know, across the board, we've always looked at, you know, this is not each year it's going to stay the same. Each year I look at our organizational chart based upon our outcomes. Like, what are we trying to solve for? Because it changes so fast, we got to make sure that we stay ahead of the curve. And it takes people. Like, you can't do these things alone. What's the saying? If you want to go far, go together. And, you know, at Mississippi State, we know the headwinds in front of us. And it's not going to be a fast race, but we know together we can do some really special things.
You talked about fundraising. One of the stories that's popped up here in the offseason is the allowance, I guess, of on-the-field advertising in SEC stadiums. I feel like that's a big opportunity for everybody in the SEC. The SEC is a big brand, and you talk about being together, and that can be a rising tide lift all ships kind of situation. Have you talked to some potential sponsors to get on the Davis Wade Stadium field? Are there some potential sponsors lined up? Is that something we could see this year?
Yeah, it's still too early to tell. We have talked to a couple people, and can't thank people enough that have raised their hand to show interest in this. You know, clearly this is a new frontier for college athletics, and I think a way that, again, we might have been able to be forward thinking a handful of years ago, but we have talked to people, still have some more conversations to go. And anytime you look at this, we never look at just a sponsorship, but it's got to be a partnership that works for both sides. Clearly, to put your name, to put your company name on Davis Wade Stadium, we don't take lightly, or the field. And so something that we evaluate. And then clearly it's not just a decision for our department. It's something that we want to make sure that we can take to our campus administration, and there's value for everybody. So don't exactly know if we'll have a name on the field this year, but there is, as expected, there's a very good considerable interest in that for us.
You know, I've had 2 years in a row where I've won this bet with Richard because Mississippi State keeps beating Ole Miss in the sports. How much would it run me to just have Richard Cross's face right there on the field in a maroon hat?
Hey, that's a lot of
catfish. Email, right?
Yeah, that may be a lot of catfish.
I'll have to raise my rates, I guess, but we'll figure that out when the time comes. What's the question that you get the most when you talk to Mississippi State fans?
That's a great question. You know, it varies. You know, right now it's, I think after you get through media day, people start to understand, or football media day, that is, we're about to hear some pads popping pretty soon. So the probably the main question is, how are we going to be this year in football? And that's kind of cyclical as we're getting ready for different sports season. You hear that. But as we say, everybody, you come to Mississippi State because you want to compete against the best, and you have to prepare for that and challenge that and embrace it, and knowing that sports not easy, and that's what makes it beautiful. But, you know, I'm excited about this upcoming year. It's crazy to think that we're winding down in summer and now we're already in the 24-25 academic year. I mean, it seems like Y2K was yesterday, and now we're already in 2025.
Y2K, goodness gracious, man. I am old. You didn't have to bring that up, Zach.
Yeah, so it's like, here we are. So we'll keep getting ready for it, and we're excited for the future.
Only a couple minutes left with Zach Selman, Mississippi State Athletic Director. We talked to Jeff Lebby at Media Days and asked him, you know, about goals for this season. And you know, wins and losses, obviously, that's what you want. But he said something I found interesting. He said, I want Mississippi State fans at the end of the year to know that they've got the right guy in place. In your mind, what makes Jeff Lebby the right guy for Mississippi State?
You know, I think it starts with just how he's a fit here. And I know that sounds cliche at times, but, you know, as you dive deeper into that, it's a fit for his family. It's his kids really enjoy it here. His wife Staley loves it here. And then he can connect with players. You all know you don't get to this level without knowing ball and being able to get into a film room and schematically be really good. But so much of it is, how do you connect with our coaches, our high school coaches, our junior college and community college coaches, and how do you fit in with the culture that we have at Mississippi State? He's somebody that truly believes in education. He believes in the state of Mississippi and understands the access to talent that we have here. So I think when you look at put all these principles together, and somebody that clearly has developed talent over time, it's somebody that, you know, is a great fit for Mississippi State and knows this league. Like there's so many different nuances to the Southeastern Conference, and all of those help add to make it great. But there's a lot of things, a lot of more pressures that come with it. And I know Jeff Lebby's felt it. He embraces it. He loves it. And he's driven by that to continue to be the best version of himself that he can be.
A few weeks away. I mean, what camp, I believe they told me, was August 1st. And then, I mean, at that point, it's football season, Zach. So we'll just be in it. Looking forward to seeing you this year at Davis-Wade Stadium. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you and coming on with me today. Zach Selman, Mississippi State Athletic Director. We'll wrap things up here on Thunder and Lightning when we come back in just a moment.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap things up here on this Wednesday, Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast because, well, I'd like you to. I'd like for you to do that. I think it would be really nice if you just came across and were like, Brian, here you go. I'm going to subscribe to your podcast. Thank you. I would appreciate that. Of course, it's 5 days a week, Mississippi State sports all of the time, available wherever you guys get podcasts and available at supertalk.fm. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com. What day would this be? August the 4th. That's two Saturdays from now. Yeah, two Sundays from now. I'm sorry. It's Vicksburg National Military Park Free Day. In honor of the anniversary of the Great American Outdoors Act, visitors can enjoy free admission to the Vicksburg National Military Park over there on Clay Street. For more information, call 601-636-0583. Love the National Military Park. Really, really cool. If you're a Civil War buff, or even if you're not, it's a really cool place. I definitely think you should check it out. This weekend in Starkville is the final big recruiting event of the summer for Mississippi State. The annual cookout, which I believe is going to be at Jeff Levy's house. I don't want an invite to go meet anybody. I thought he would just like me to come over and help cook. But if that's the case, Jeff, I understand. You're missing out, though. You're missing out. I could hook you up with some great food. I would expect at least one or two commitments. The guy I would definitely keep an eye on is Tyler Lockhart, the linebacker out of Winona, who recently decommitted from Auburn. His brother, TJ, is already on the team, as is his best friend, Fat Clark. Both played at Winona last year on that state championship team. So he'll be there. That's got somebody to keep an eye on. The guy we're all going to keep an eye on, though, the guy that we're all keeping a lookout for is going to be Choctaw County wide receiver Caleb Cunningham, the five-star receiver that has committed to Alabama. And I know that my podcast partner, Robbie Falk, tells me to follow the visits, and I certainly will. That's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough flip, you know, because I think two things that Caleb Cunningham wants to be a part of is being close to home and being part of an explosive offense. Alabama's close enough, right? It's only another hour and change from Ackerman. So I guess an hour and a half. So it's not that far away. And explosive offense is what Kalen DeBoer does. So I expect that offense to look very, very good. So Mississippi State's really going to have to play the relationships card. He has a great relationship with Chad Bumpus. Two of his best friends are J.J. Harrell and Stonka Birdside. Going to have to really play that card up. But also, going back to what we talked about in the beginning of the show, State's going to have to be good offensively. They are going to have to be really good offensively to show Caleb Cunningham that, you know, this offense can put him to the next level. We talked about it yesterday on the podcast. 28 years since Mississippi State has had a NFL wide receiver go into the draft, and that's Eric Moults. Think about all the receivers the state has had in that time. Think about every other school in the SEC that's had a receiver drafted in that time frame, and Mississippi State has not. It's a really weird outlier. It's a really odd statistic, but it is what it is. And receivers, they're going to need to see somebody show up and be good from day one and get to the next level from Mississippi State before they're just going to give away their commitments. You know, when you're Alabama and you've put first-round receivers out, you know, almost every season, that's an easy sell. And then I know that people are going to say, well, that was before with Saban. Kalen DeBoer just had a first-round wide receiver. Guy won the top 10 picks in Rome Odunze. And his offense is renowned for being explosive and being a pass-friendly offense and being an offense that puts receivers down the field to make big plays. So it's going to be a very, very interesting, you know, few months for Mississippi State as they try desperately to flip Caleb Cunningham. I'm not one of these, you know, the class is a total failure if you don't get him, but that's a big miss because you just don't have, you know, when you think about Mississippi State and the five-star guys they've gotten, they've only signed two in the last decade, Jeff Simmons and Charles Cross. Simmons was right down the road at Knoxby. Obviously, Cross from Laurel a little further down the road. That was a good recruiting job to get him. Knoxby, I mean, you can't lose a guy like that. Even if you lose him to Ole Miss, it's a bad loss. With Cunningham being from Ackerman, I mean, you feel like you're just not going to get a player like that in your backyard every year. Alabama can go anywhere and get five-star receivers. There are three or four other guys they could easily get. They plucked the state's guy. It's going to be tough to flip. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Will they do it? Can they do it? Sure, they can do it. Will they do it? I mean, not a lot. The list of guys State has flipped from Alabama is not very long and distinguished. I'll put it that way. Now, the one that comes to mind is Leo Lewis, but he was technically committed to Ole Miss, right? He was committed to Alabama, decommitted, then he committed to Ole Miss, and then committed to Mississippi State there at the end. I can't off the top of my head remember a guy who was committed to Alabama and then ended up at Mississippi State as a result. What, Nick Kiles, maybe? Going back, remember those? Remember the Kiles brothers? That didn't work out very well for Mississippi State either. So we'll see. But that's something to keep an eye on this weekend. State should be able to pull in a couple of commitments, I think. We'll see. But that's the last. That after that, you know, the focus goes to camp. I haven't got an exact date yet. I think State reports for camp on the 30th, so a week from yesterday. And then camp will get started, I guess, still on the 1st or something like that. So football's here, guys. You know, Media Days is the end of kind of the end of the offseason for me. And then you now we're sliding into it's time to start talking about what's really going to happen when we get to Labor Day weekend. And I'm looking forward to it. And I know that you guys are too. All right, guys. Appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi with me and Michael Borky. And, of course, a week from now, we'll be right back here on Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. For Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.